You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
What could family devotions look like for your household? We'll talk with the director of LCMS Family Ministry in just a moment.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Nebraska. You can learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska at cune.edu.
Joining us today, the Reverend Andy Becker. He's director of family ministry in the LCMS Office of National Mission. Welcome, Pastor Becker.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you both.
Both Andy B's who work in the building are in the studio today.
Yeah, there's some like shift in the force happening today or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Hope the studio survives.
I feel a little outnumbered, honestly. I need to like change my name today to fit in.
We need to change our email to just one email account.
That's
because
true.
We end up getting each other's emails.
Accidentally emailed both of you.
If you change your name, you might get our emails too.
That's true. Then never mind. For that reason alone, I will not do it.
Now, if Aubrey were here,
it would be all
Aubrey
A-Bs.
B. Yes, This is true. So today we're going to talk about family devotions, why they matter, and some practical insights for family devotions as well. Family devotions, some might say, we already go to church 1 to 2 times a week. What's the importance of family devotions if we're in church regularly?
Well, I'd say great that you're in church regularly. That's where we receive God's gifts and learn about what God's done for us and receive the sacrament. But what we do in our homes, that's where we practice our faith. That's where we live out our faith, where that's repeated over and over and over again. I love Deuteronomy chapter 6, which Moses says, these things you're to impress upon your children, you're to teach diligently. And really that word is just to do it over and over and over again. And then Moses goes on to talk about all those contexts where you do that. And so that's where the magic happens in the normal everyday of life, that faith is just instilled and just refined and pressed down deep into our children, but also into our own hearts as we work and do that, do those devotions daily.
Mm-hmm. What can that regular routine do for a family?
Well, it can create a sense of normalcy and a sense of rhythm. You know, think about when my kids were younger, just what that evening, like bedtime routine was. Okay, it's bath time. Okay, now we're jumping into routine. And not that that was easy every night, not that that was not without its struggles, but we're jumping into something that we all know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And we have this normal pattern, but now we're inviting the Lord into that. And we're taking time to focus and look at what God has done for us. And so we're grounded now every day in who God has made us and who He's called us to be.
It is funny how pajamas seem like a surprise to everyone, every child in the household, and they don't want to do that. But if you forget family devotions and family prayers, they will remind you of that. Tell us a little bit about your own personal experience with family devotions.
Yeah, so when my wife and I were expecting our first, we probably, both church workers, but didn't have the greatest habits of personal devotions in our family life. And we decided this was something that we wanted to make sure this was happening for our kids as they came along. And so we decided, well, will this look like? And we talked to some different folks and got different advice. And so the best advice we had was just to make it simple. And so we started off with our firstborn child. When he came home from the hospital, we prayed the Lord's Prayer over him. And we said a verse of a hymn, and I blessed him. And it was all very simple, took less than probably 2 minutes total. And just a simple blessing, traced the sign of the cross on his forehead and said, you are God's child, reminding him of his baptism. Jesus loves you and I love you. And so the whole thing took about 2 minutes, and it was just, that became our pattern. And now we were a family that had a regular habit and routine, and we've expanded on that over the years. We've expanded that prayer time to include now Luther's evening prayer at night when we do that. We replaced the hymn verse with that as our kids got older. And then we did also prayer prompts where, dear God, thank you for, dear God, please help. And then at different times and different seasons, we've used other resources and things to bring God's word more into that time of devotion. Sometimes even splitting that, we'll do that in the morning and we'll do our stroller prayers in the evenings. We use discussions from, printed devotion guides. We used the Bible storybook from CPH. We used the 120 Bible stories that our church used during confirmation. We even used just the catechism and opening that up and using the kind of the key points after the concepts after each chief part, just to have a little family discussion and read the Bible story around each of those. So it's changed over the years, but the structure has really remained the same of just the Lord's Prayer, Luther's evening prayer, those prayer prompts and that blessing. We've even included hymns from time to time where each member of the family picks a different hymn each night.
How have your kids responded to that routine over the years as things have changed and they've grown?
So what I think is pretty awesome is when we first started doing family devotions and prayer time with our kids, you know, I'm a trained church worker and it was uncomfortable for me to start leading that.
Yeah.
But because of when we started with our kids, they've never known a time when we haven't done that. It's normal for them to do that. Like Andy, you were saying, if we didn't do it, they would say something. They would remind us, oh, we haven't done this yet tonight. They're waiting to go to bed until we do our prayer time together as a family. And so when we added those new things with a simple explanation of, hey, let's try this. They're game for it because it's not a new category. It's just a new component of in what we're doing.
How does that work when, you know, your schedule has changed for some reason, especially when they get into the, you know, middle school, high school years and all kinds of after school activities, things like that, that might have them up until, you know, late hours, but I'm ready to crash at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, we just, our oldest just went through drama and he had his tech weeks. And so he's not getting home till, you know, late. And, you know, younger son needs to be in bed already and I need to be in bed already. So, so I think on those things, whether it was an evening meeting that I might have or an engagement that my wife and I had together, like we would still have those things with whoever was in the home at that point. And so that was part of the training for our babysitters. Is here's what we do for our evening devotions and prayer time. And by the time our kids were 5, 6, 7 years old, they could lead that process for our babysitters. They just had to make the space for it to do. And so with our, now with the older ones and evening activities and driving on their own and all those things, they're now, you know, coached and equipped to, hey, you're doing this on your own. Make sure, hey, we did prayers already with family. You're going to do that on your own tonight. And they're able to do that because the rhythm has been instilled in, and that pattern is there.
Think of what an impact that has. You mentioned, you know, the kids are equipped to help the babysitter with that and you leave resources for the babysitter as well. Think of what impact that has on the babysitter as well. I can think of two families that I cared for when I was a young adult as a babysitter and being introduced to family devotions through those scenarios, how that really had an impact on me and what that meant for them as a family, like how I saw something different in those families, in those households when that happened. And as a babysitter, to be invited, yes, it was a little daunting, but I was a church work student at the time and realized this is something I really should be paying attention to. To be invited to be a part of that really was meaningful to me as a babysitter too.
We try not to change that habit or routine. So when we have house guests, if the kids have friends over, if it's time to do our activities, our devotions and prayers, we invite them into that. We don't force anybody into that, but we invite them into that. And it's been a blessing too, as we have like grandparents or aunts or uncles or cousins to be able to share in that time together. And then, just the witness that can have on others. And I think just that demystifying of the process, right? You do that. Oh, wow, that sounds complicated and complex. And it's really simple and basic. The hardest part is just establishing the habit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm hearing that it's not something that happens when there's no other obstacles. It's something that just happens. And if other things need to be incorporated in, then that's just what you do because it is literally just what you do.
and we had the blessing of starting that and making that decision before other things were already mm-hmm. on the schedule and other habits and routines were established. This was part of the routine from the beginning.
Yeah, you've mentioned just some things that I think are very common to families, like catechism and creeds and hymns. How has just being in church, how does that itself equip parents to just do this kind of devotion?
Yeah, so when our oldest was verbal and able to now start to participate in kind of the prayers and the things that we were doing during devotions, we took the time of, you know, just to call and repeat with the Lord's Prayer, you know, just our Father who art in heaven, mispronounced words. And it was cute and it was awesome. But, you know, you do that for several weeks and more of that they're able to go along with. And then it was like, oh, let's do the Apostles' Creed to make sure he can do that too. And we started doing that same call and repeat. And because he just had been in church every Sunday, not because we had done any intentional efforts, this was not a parenting win on our part, but just like We were just, he was just there at like 2 years old. He was just, he could say the creed on his own. Like we did, all right, I believe. And he just went on and took out the rest of the creed. Like, oh, guess we don't need to do the call and repeat for that. He's already got it. I think just surrounded by the habits and the practices we do in the church, you know, our family devotions mirror that. Mm-hmm. You know, our families begin to look more like church, and then we want to bring our families to church, so our church even act and behave more like families and those connections that we have with one another.
I think you bring up a great point. Don't underestimate what young children are capable of. I remember when our son was probably 2 or 3, learning the creed, the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, and Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, all before he was probably 4 years old, had learned those just from that daily routine, yeah, that daily practice.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that there weren't nights where I wanted to, you know, pull my hair out or whatever else, just super frustrated, like sit still or, you know, like let's focus or, you know, that all happened too. And there were nights I wasn't focused and wasn't able to sit still and those things too. So, you know, it's not that everything was perfect and that we hit every single night, but it's that habit, that rhythm, that even when we miss the night, okay, we're going to come back and get it right back into it the next evening and be right there.
We're talking with the Reverend Andy Becker. He's Director of Family Ministry for the LCMS Office of National Mission. We're talking about family devotions. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment here on The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Are you looking to gain practical insights and spiritual encouragement in a format that fits your life? Discover the treasures of Christ-centered learning with Concordia University, Nebraska. Utilizing an online, self-paced learning platform, Concordia Nebraska's new Studia Vitae program will offer a non-credit continuing education courses featuring lifelong learning opportunities in a variety of focused areas. Courses begin in January 2026 and registration opens soon. Learn more at cune.edu/CEU. That's cune.edu/CEU.
Every day, someone hears exactly the word of Christ they need because KFUO Radio was there. From Bible studies to sacred music to conversations that strengthen your faith, this Lutheran broadcast ministry is a lifeline. Share-a-thon is April 30th to May 2nd. Join us as we share stories, celebrate God's work, and invite you to support the ministry that supports you. Find out more at KFUO.org.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we're learning about family devotions with the Reverend Andy Becker. He's Director of Family Ministry for the LCMS Office of National Mission. You have given us some great points, some great insights on family devotions, some of the challenges you faced. We'll talk a little bit more about obstacles in just a moment and what to do in the face of those obstacles. But let's talk about what family devotions have looked like. You've given us some examples. I think we talked about keeping it simple too. What could a simple family devotion look like for any household?
Yeah, I'd say if a family has never done family devotions before, I'd probably start with just prayer. Do the Lord's Prayer just like you do it in church. Could do the creed or it could do Luther's morning or evening prayer, depending on when you were doing that. And then add a simple prayer prompt in. And that's going to take you, if you know everybody's participating in that prayer prompt, you're probably looking at 2 or 3 minutes. That's probably a sweet place to start to reclaim some time, intentional time in your family, very simple. And now you're a family that does spiritual things together in your home. And that changes who you are, how you view yourself, how you look at yourself. Once that rhythm and that pattern's established, then you can look at adding in simple things. If your family loves to sing, add the hymn next. If you want to dive deeper into God's word and use a Bible story book or a Bible and work through a book of the Bible, depending what that looks like for your family and what's there, we always would ask our kids, you know, kind of, what do you want to talk about next? And sometimes it would be the same Bible story that we'd done 3 times already that we're going to do that again, because that's what they wanted to do. So we gave them input and ownership into that, but keep it simple. Adding those pieces in. So 5, 10, 15 minutes tops is probably all you need. And some days you don't have that much time probably even to think about it, depending when you structure that. And I think when you do that maybe is another kind of thing to think about. For our family, that worked the best most of the time in the evenings. I'm not a morning person, so I did not want to get up earlier than possible. So that in the evenings generally worked better for us, but that might be in the morning. It might be during dinner. It might be in a car ride as you're all together dropping off for sports or for school or whatever else that might be. That's going to be different per family, but looking at when that time is and then dedicating those times and making that as easy as possible to remember to do and to keep on doing that way.
What are some things, I don't know, age appropriateness? What are some things for families to think about just considering ages of the kids that they have, especially like small family with like two kids or big family with seven or eight kids? Yeah. I know several of those too.
Yeah.
How do you consider those, the ages of the kids as you think about what to do?
Yeah. And I think the simplicity of that, I think, you know, if you're using a simpler resource or a Bible story book, incorporating the older kids into reading and some leadership roles in there to give them ownership in there, even asking questions, if there's questions in that, to give some leadership in there and to continue engagement, even if the material might be a little more juvenile than the child might be. But I think having those conversations together as a family and then together just like individually with each child to kind of think through, you know, what would you like to do? What would be helpful in this? And just asking those questions and gaining the feedback and the buy-in. I think those would be things I would do. And we did do with our kids as we were working with that.
We've talked a lot about families with kids, families without children in the home.
Yeah, I think the pattern's still the same. Those spiritual conversations, whether that's an empty nest couple, a couple that doesn't have kids, whether that's an individual person of finding that same rhythm and routine, keeping it simple and keeping it basic. I would say for the single folks, finding someone to talk about those things with might not be every day or every night, but having that kind of relationship to hold you accountable, but also to have those conversations about what you're reading and learning and exploring with God's word and through those devotions is helpful.
Any other insights on how to keep it regular? Because, you know, we might have a good season where it's gone really well. We were going great for like 2 months and then something changed our routine. Any insights that might be, any additional insights on how to keep it regular?
I think that's normal. I've struggled with that in our own family too, is like, oh, we've got this great pattern. And then my schedule changed or one of the kids' schedules, sports seasons flipped or whatever it is. I think it's just being on the same page with your family, if you're married, with your spouse, and so that you're holding each other accountable of like, hey, we didn't do devotions at all this week. Let's reengage. You know, like, what's that going to look like next week? And let's start just back into it. You know, again, just being a family that does something, even if it's not the whole thing that you want to get to, just starting by re-engaging again. And I think so many times we can make this very legalistic that I'm not a good Christian unless I'm doing these things with my family or my kids, or because I didn't, somehow I've missed the mark or I've missed the boat and I can't even, there's no way we could even get there. So why bother trying? I think those attitudes aren't helpful. We live by grace. Doing family devotions isn't what makes us a Christian. It's what we have the opportunity to do to continue to connect into our faith and grow stronger for ourselves and for our kids. And so to give ourselves some grace, forgiveness, apologize to your kids if you need to. Hey, we didn't do this last week. I'm really sorry. I dropped the ball and I should have led better with our family, but we're going to start next week. Here's what we need your help with to make sure that we get this back on. We're all going to get up 5 minutes earlier so that we can make sure this happens, right? There's seasons we've done that in our family to do that, even though I'm not a morning person. I got up 5 minutes earlier so that we could all be together in different seasons.
It sounds like, I mean, not to downplay it, but this happens with a lot of routines in life. When we skip something, like if I'm in an exercise routine and I'm doing great, and then something happens and then it's like such a drag to get back to it. And oh, is it really worth it? But it's just making that a priority to just like, there's no shame. You just restart. You just go back to the beginning.
Yeah. And so that having your family be accountability for one another.
Yeah.
But then finding those folks within your church community that can help you with that accountability, and whether you're working on the same resources or whether it's, you know, just talking to your pastor or DCE or somebody else at the church of like, hey, can you just ask me how my family devotions are doing just from periodically, just to hold me accountable on that. And if I'm not, it's just a great reminder to jump back in.
Yeah, absolutely. What other obstacles have you run across in your own family, but also just working in family ministry? I'm sure you hear stories from people.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest struggles is people that didn't know how to do this, didn't know that they could do this, or this was beneficial, had no experience with it, and they really want to do this, but get maybe some pushback from maybe a spouse, maybe older kids in the midst of that, of not getting that whole family buy-in because it's not been part of what their family's experienced in their culture. And so I think that's an obstacle that can be there. And I think just being honest with the desire and why, and, you know, just apologizing if it's a leadership failure, you know, just, and then just saying, but this is what we're going to do. And so how can I get your help to make sure this is a success? And I think the other big obstacle for folks is that they often don't really understand, they don't have a concept of what that looks like. If they didn't grow up in a household that did family devotions, if they didn't experience that or hasn't experienced that since they were a child, what that looks like to help lead those things, what that looks like to even do that, there's just the unknown aspect that's there. And so as I've gone about doing and teaching and trying to instill these things in others, it's really modeling. And just like you were talking about, Andy, as a babysitter, you were able to experience that, and that kind of like, oh, I can do that, you know. And so really just to show how simple it can be, and then provide people with the tools and resources to follow up with those things.
Speaking of tools and resources, what resources would you like to point us to?
Yeah, so they're on at lcms.org/family, the family ministry page on the Synod page website. There's some resources there. If you click on more resources, there's a few devotional guides. There's one called the Daily Devotions Guide, aptly named, that really just walks you through a step-by-step process of family devotions. It's pretty structured, but even gives a hymn suggestion and possible Bible verse reading, and just walks you through just a simple structure for family devotions. It uses the order of daily prayer in the hymnal as a basis for that, to do that as well. Just using that, if you don't need the guide, you could use that, but then you have to supply some of your own readings or hymns or things like that. There's also a devotional calendar that you can download and personalize for your family that gives you prayer prompts for each day, kind of a hymn of the month, Bible reading, Bible verses that you can memorize, just some ideas and prompts for that as well. Then also there is a Being a Christian Parent Guide. It's just a simple guide that walks parents through how to do prayer time with their infant or toddler in the midst of that as well.
In our household, Treasury of Daily Prayer has been useful. Mm-hmm. I would say with young children, My First Hymnal has been really valuable. That's how our son learned the 23rd Psalm and all those things, the commandments were, I mean, you could learn them anyway, but it provided a nice structure and colorful artwork.
Yeah. It is beautiful.
Yeah. And I did mention earlier, like the 120 Bible stories in the Bible storybook from CPH are great resources as well.
They have a ton of great resources for family devotions and time in family prayer and reading the Bible together. LCMS.org/family. You can find plenty of resources there to help you wherever you are in your family's journey to family devotions, whether it's beginning or looking for something to maybe add to your routine. LCMS.org/family. Our guest today, the Reverend Andy Becker, Director of Family Ministry for the LCMS Office of National Mission. Thanks so much for being our guest.
It's been a joy to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.